Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. This is Dave Custy, and today we are featuring the Veteran Artist Program. With us today we have Josh Davidson, the executive producer of the Veteran Artist Program, and also we have Jeremy Paris, the information systems and production manager. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
First, we'll start with Josh. Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little background here.
Okay, well, I'm actually originally from Tennessee. I joined the Air Force when I was 19. I went off to California, became a linguist, got out, and I was kind of stuck doing computer work and hated it. Still do it sometimes, but I still hate it. About 7 years ago, I kind of fell into acting and immediately started a film company called Be More Films. And been making movies and acting ever since. About 4 years ago, I met B.R. McDonald, the founder of the Veteran Artist Program. And we just started working with veteran artists like myself and like B.R., who was an opera singer. And, you know, ever since then, we've been growing and doing more and more with veteran artists. We also have a subsidiary of VAP called the Vets on Sets. We call it VOS for short. And I'm the head of that. We've done documentaries. We've worked on films. We've done PSAs, little things here and there. Just basically, one of VOS's main goals is to document stuff that VAP does, but also we want to bring in veterans who want to get into filmmaking or acting, so either in front of or behind the camera, and basically give them on-the-job training and help them get their foot in the door to get jobs out there with the film community. A lot of people don't realize it, but there is a very large and thriving film community in Baltimore and Maryland and Virginia areas.
Yes, there is. And it transposes through all different mediums. We're talking about filmmaking, we're talking about performance arts, and the visual arts, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have people, I think you have someone in San Francisco who is head of the visual arts. It's another acronym of
Yep, there it is.
Right in front of me.
Yeah, Kathleen.
T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Kathleen is.
She's in California.
I'm not sure exactly where she is.
I think she's Sacramento
somewhere around,
or something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's where it is. We've done stuff. We just did something out in San Diego with her, and she came down for that. But yeah, she's in Sacramento. And she just recently took over VapViz and is doing a lot of great work. She's not a vet herself, but she's really, really done a great job for us, getting us out there and really making a presence for us out on the West Coast.
So you're a 501c3, you're a nonprofit organization. So how long have you been a nonprofit now?
Jeremy?
I think it's been about 4 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the officially it was 2010 that BR filed for the 501c3, and then Veterans Day 2010 we did a show called The Home Show, which was our first official VAP produced event, and that included visual arts. There was art out in the gallery. We did a Creative Alliance right down the street here.
Oh, right.
And so out in the gallery, there were several pieces of art from veteran artists. And then there was one of my movies was shown. I can't remember. I think we showed the...
Was it the Russian film?
No. I think that we showed the Armed Forces Retirement Home documentary there. For some reason, I'm thinking that it wasn't done in 2010. So maybe the home show, actually, I take that back. The home show, I filmed it, but I don't think we actually showed a film there. I think that was like a theatrical performance, some visual art stuff, and then some musical performances, including BR, who plays guitar and sings. And like I said, he's trained as an opera singer at the, I believe, University of North Carolina.
And so, Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
The information systems and production managers.
That's a mouthful.
Just told me that, but now I'm very good at it, actually.
Just rolls off your tongue.
Give me a little history of yourself.
Okay. My name is Jeremy Paris. I was born in Buffalo, New York. And when I was 17, I graduated high school and I joined the Army. My mother had a sign, of course. But I went away to Oklahoma. I went to Alaska for a few years. That was amazing. And then I wound up here in Maryland. And after a few years here, I got out and decided to stay. I've been working as a DOD contractor ever since, doing computer work. And like Josh, I'm not super fond of it, but very good at it. So.
And so
I'm not necessarily so good at it, but I really hate it.
Well, we won't tell.
I don't really care.
So tell me your artistic endeavors yourself.
Let's see. I play a little bit of guitar. I'm not great at it. In fact, since I learned when I was young, almost everything I could play is old Metallica. Some people think that's good.
That's okay.
But I really got into film with Josh. Josh, one day, because we worked together, and one day he was telling me, hey, I'm going to be in this movie here in Baltimore, and it's a zombie film, and you should come out and check it out. And I didn't have anything going on, so I figured I would go and see what it was all about. And they ended up needing more people, and I'm like, sure, I could be... You know, somebody stands over in the corner or whatever, no problem. And through a couple of crazy coincidences or disasters, I guess, for some people, I ended up with a speaking role and ended up in the opening credits. And I was like, wow, this acting thing, this is great.
So you were hooked after that?
I was hooked immediately. And then a while later, Josh and I decided that, you know, hey, maybe we should, instead of going and being in everybody else's movies, maybe we should start doing some of our own. And we put together Be More Films, and Josh has pretty much been running with it ever since. I kind of took a step back with, I've got a wife and three children. And
a job.
And a job that take up a whole lot of my time.
I hear you. So tell me about the part of your title as a production manager. What does that entail?
So for a lot of the focus of the Veteran Artists Program is to help other veteran organizations, and we will act as the, we will produce... So part of the focus of the Veteran Artist Program is to help other veteran service organizations. They might have an organization that is really good at helping veterans in some way, shape, or form, but they might not be good at putting on a huge performance. They might, you know, be fine with a couple of local shows or something like that, but if they really wanted to get into, like, we want to rent out an entire hall and we want to have this week-long event, we, Veteran Artist Program, we come in and help them to put the whole thing together. So part of my job as the manager is I will, behind the scenes, try to help out with venues, with getting the people that are involved all up to speed, making sure that the schedules are taken care of, and making sure that the show is a success.
Very good. It's such a great idea, I think, because the idea of using the arts to propel things, the idea of using the arts to show a mirror to all the issues that the veterans have, and just to have art too, you know. I mean, to get them into the mainstream, to get them, you know, working on their ideas, and to really coordinate that for them, and to start it here, and to have it all across the country. I mean, it's just what a terrific idea. And I mean, there's so many different streams to it. I can see it hooking up with a lot of different things in terms of the mainstream. You know, whether it's when you're talking about movies, and whether you know you want to do a location somewhere, and whether you get the local people, Yahtzee and what have you, and you get, I'm sure you've dealt with Yahtzee in terms of the, you know, the technical people and everything like that. So I think I might just be going off here, but we'll go back now to. Now, I just really like the idea when you started talking to me when we met a couple months ago, Josh, and I thought, you know, there's so much we could do, because my background is arts administration, and I've worked in Europe, and I've worked in different areas in Belfast where I lived, and also in disenfranchised areas, and it just was, it's all the same germ, though, of an idea, and it's just that it just kind of, I think I will fix this up when I do the editing, so but you get the idea. So, Josh, tell us about the mission, statement on this.
Well, our mission statement is to foster, encourage, and promote veteran artists, and that's really, obviously, the heart
that's
of
it,
what
I'm
we
not
do,
sure, yeah.
Because a lot of times when you go in the military, whether you know, some people are artists and they've always known they were artists. They go into the military. They might dabble a little bit here and there, but once you get in, it's, you know, they regiment you. They break you down and help you. You basically have to conform to doing everything the same way, and kind of like a beehive mentality, or they make sure your day goes a certain way, and that doesn't leave a lot of time for a creative outlet, especially if you know, go over to Iraq and you're in a desert for, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever. And then there are people who go into the military and maybe they start doing some art in the military, or like myself, I was in the military, had never done anything artsy in my entire life. And other than, you know, 10th grade drawing class, which I think was one of the only classes I ever actually got an A in. But I didn't find that I was artistic at all until I was 30 years old and I'd been out of the military for, you know, 7 years. But being in the military tremendously helped me be able to make movies, because it's very similar. Once you get on a film set, that's why veterans make such a great film crew and actors, because it's a lot of, you have to be able to adapt to your whatever situation's going on. You have to be willing to hurry up and wait around a lot. You have to be able to, you know, and it's very like, you know, once you get down to the meat of a film production, it's very similar with the day-to-day stuff.
But you guys got the discipline instilled,
right,
in
exactly,
you.
Right,
and
right.
You have to have the discipline, especially to hurry up and wait type,
right,
of thing.
Exactly.
And also from going from A, not just to B or C, but to A to Z.
Right, exactly.
You know, and to get things done, because in a limited amount of time. It just reminded me of something, just as an aside. In Europe, some major companies were hiring performing artists, directors, mm-hmm, because they have to take a show and put it together in 4 weeks. And how they do that and what the steps are were very important for companies to know, well, we got to do this with a new product.
Right.
You know, these are the best guys to do it. And it's the same type of thing.
Right,
I mean, there's,
exactly,
like I say, there's so many different strands that maybe, you know, that there's work there too.
Yeah. You know? No, exactly. And the thing is, a lot of, you know, people get out of the military, and, you know, the military is really good at getting you prepared to be in the military. But it really stinks at getting you prepared to not be in the military anymore. You know, you go to basic training, you're in basic training for 6 weeks to 2 months, you go to tech school. You're in tech school for 1 month to, like myself, I was in tech school for 18 months.
Slow learner.
Yeah. It was really hard to get the math down. Yeah. But, you know, I was in tech school almost half of my enlistment, and that was preparing me to be in the military. And then you get out, you go to class for 2 hours a day for a week, and pretty much that whole class is doing is teaching you how to write a resume. They don't teach you how to integrate yourself back into civilian life. And I think that's one reason why veteran suicide is such a huge problem, because you get out of the military and all of a sudden you're alone. And you're not really alone, but a lot of people feel like they're alone.
Sure.
Because they don't have the mess hall to go to in the morning. They don't have the job where a bunch of military people who've gone through the exact same thing outside of their job are at with them. And then they don't go and have PT at night. And so it's almost that's why military suicide, I think that aids that a lot, because there's really a lot of veterans feel really lost. And I think that, and then one of the first things they do is they're trying to get a job, and the arts is the last thing on their mind usually.
Yeah, that doesn't pay any money.
Right, exactly. But
hey, look, that's the thing. It's the last thing on parents' mind.
Right, exactly.
When their kids say, I'm going to be an actor.
Right, exactly. But, you know, if that's your dream and that's what you want to do, number one, you don't have to have that as your job. I mean, I have like 5 jobs really that I... You know, between all the stuff that I have going on with VAP and acting and filmmaking and doing photography and working my, you know, contract day job, which luckily I've gotten down to a couple of days a week now. But, you know, filmmaking for me isn't necessarily what pays the bills, but it's most definitely what enriches my life and gives me purpose and meaning and makes me feel fulfilled every day. Even though I'm working 10 times harder on making movies than I'm doing anything else. You know, and I'm giving myself away to do that, really. I mean, you know, the amount of... But that you can make money at that.
Sure.
You can make art and sell it. And so we just want to get those veteran artists, whether they're painters, musicians, filmmakers, we want to give them a venue to be seen, hopefully have their work purchased or have them employed. For instance, the Pentagon exhibit that we have coming up in... we're hoping in October now. The Pentagon has pushed us back a couple of times because of other exhibits they have. Mm-hmm. But we had a call, nationwide call. Did we do all across the world, or was it just United States submissions?
It was opened up on the website to where, you know, somebody else could have come in from other countries, but it ended up that everybody that... that's submitted through the website was from the U.S.
Okay.
But we do have, if you take a look, we made a nice map, a nice Google map, and we've got the pins where all of the people are that actually are going to have art in the exhibit, and it's pretty scattered all across the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So we had 1,000 submissions from all across the U.S. of visual artwork.
That's
and
amazing,
and we picked, and we had a jury that selected 40 artworks, and they're going to be exhibited in the Pentagon for a year.
Oh wow!
And it was open to any active or retired or veterans, any active duty or veterans. So that's just one way.
Well, we're going
to
have to do a program on it,
right? Well,
maybe we'll go down there and do live remote. You know,
there you go.
What do you say in October?
We're going to have an opening and all that stuff.
That's terrific.
And we have visions to, you know, have like select some of that artwork to go on like a traveling to be displayed in different places after the year's over.
Great.
And we've already actually we just did we helped work with the CCME, the community or the College of the Military Educators out in San Diego. They had a conference in February, and we actually took about 10 pieces of art that are going to be at the Pentagon, and we displayed it there in what we called our VAP coffee house, where we provided live music, and we displayed some art from veterans, and I actually filmed the whole thing and made a video for CCME to put on their website and on our website. But yeah, that's just one of the things, you know, like I said, promote veteran artists. We try to get as much visibility and as much opportunity for veteran artists as we can.
Well, I want to back up a little bit because what you said was very interesting, and I think it's really the crux when you talk about when you have jobs, you have day jobs, but when you do art, how it makes you feel,
right?
You know, how, you know, it's the intangibles,
right?
Right.
That really that you're after, and that really can help. If somebody's feeling bad about, well, I'm all alone in this,
right.
You know, and you know, God forbid that, you know, he might feel that he wants to end his life, you know, something like this, to be able to engage in something like this, also to have a camaraderie,
yes,
with right. other artists, you know.
Right.
Well, it's that feeling that that you belong to something. When you're
yes.
in the military, you have that feeling that you're part of it. You're a piece of it. It's one organism, and you're just one piece of that organism, and it's a good feeling. And then you decide, for whatever reason, that it's time to get out. You know, maybe you're retired, maybe you got out early, maybe you got injured, but you get out, and now it feels like you're broken away from that organism, and now you're just on your own. You're not in with anybody. You don't have any, you know, any friends that really can relate to you. You know, you go back home, and everybody back home doesn't really understand your way of living. It could be hard, but like you're saying, with art is kind of universal. I mean, everybody kind of feels passionate when they're making art about what it is they're doing, and that's something that if somebody who's doing that art, if they know that there's other people in their area even. That are, you know, there's going to be a workshop next week, and we're going to be, you know, painting trees or something. You know, veterans, you're all welcome to come out. Hey, I could be part of that. I could be part of something again. And it's a way to have them still feel that way.
And I think, well, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but if you're in the armed forces, you have that history, whether you were together or not, whether you're in
right.
you know, San Francisco. And with that, it can really help in terms of determining the art, too.
Right.
You know? And people will understand the direction you're going into, what you want to do, I think more so than the civilian, you know, because you've had that, even though it's I'm not really expressing it too well, but I think you know what I mean. You know, you have
yeah,
that, and
right.
when you're talking to somebody, and when you're doing a critique of somebody like that, they know that since you've all been in that together, it's
right.
for their best interest.
Yeah, it's
right.
it's pretty amazing. And it doesn't matter if you're in the military in the U.S. or the military in Europe or wherever it is, you still feel, even if you were fighting for completely opposite sides, you still feel something shared
yeah.
there. And it's funny because, you know, you can say, meet somebody out at a bar or whatever that, you know, oh, I'm a computer administrator. Oh, me too. Oh, who gives a crap? But if you're both in the military, and it doesn't matter if you have the same job or completely different jobs, immediately, oh, we're both in the military. We both went to basic training. We both went to tech school. We both, you know, had this lifestyle. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And it's something that, you know, it's very important for the military people to stay in touch with other military people. Whether you were in with them or not, you know, you can just have a group of people that get together, you know, like the Baltimore veterans could get together at a certain, you know, park every Friday or
right.
whatever it is. You really don't have to have anything in common whatsoever other than being in the military.
And the other thing is it doesn't at all, when you get together, it doesn't at all have to be focused on anything military or
right.
past military or, you know, grieving or feelings
mm-hmm.
or anything related to military. Just being, hanging out with somebody who's in the military, who shared something that you're familiar with, that's enough.
Yeah, and like with the Veteran Arts Program, like, for instance, when we did the Pentagon exhibit, we had a lot of people asking, well, my art's really not combat related or military related. And that's great. You know, we don't want all the art to be military related. You can be a veteran and paint trees, and that's a great thing to get out there. Like, we're not an organization that we're all about military. We are about veterans, and each person has their own unique experience. what was I going to say? Yeah, I had a good thought. I forgot.
It'll come back to you. Don't worry about that.
After the show, on the way home, it'll
be. Yeah, right.
But the idea, too, is that it's not all insular. It's not just all military. You have feelings that you say, well, not necessarily military, but there is that personal history that you draw on when you do art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that you're segmented away from the civilian population, because everybody has different personal histories, but also there is a universality and that people can share and say, oh, that looks to me, and that reminds me of this, and while this was reminding me of something else, military or not, it still is that. But you have that history, too.
Well, that's another great thing about it is, like, the commonality between... There's a pretty big gap between veterans and civilian people. And that's the great thing about art, is it can bring veterans together, but it can also bring veterans and civilians together and show civilians that, oh, this guy isn't all about shooting guns and driving tanks and blowing up things. He has a sensitive side, or he has a, you know, amazing art. A lot of people, it's funny, a lot of people are, like, so shocked when somebody in the military can, like, you know, like on American Idol, for instance, every time there's anybody in the military, it's like, oh my God, he's in the military.
They're just going to do a march around the stage.
We have to vote him through because he's in the military and he can sing. You know, there are a lot of people that are incredibly talented.
Preconceived notion, and all
right. But we've put together performances that have, I've been told, are just an unbelievable way to a great.
Like bridging the gap.
Right, bridging the gap, and a great vision into what military life is like. We have an ongoing partnership with the Telling Project.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And it was started by Jonathan Way, and I believe he's in San Francisco. And is he in Texas?
He's in Austin, Texas.
Okay, I'm sorry. Jonathan is in Austin, Texas. I think he's in San Francisco.
I think he's got a show going there.
Right, he's going to have a show in San Francisco. But we've done 3 Telling Projects so far. We did in 2010, I believe, maybe 2011. 2011, we did a Telling Project Baltimore. 2012, we did Telling Project DC, where they performed at the Library of Congress at the end of a week-long event that we had called Arts, Military, and Healing. And then we're going to have a 2013 San Francisco Telling Project. And what the Telling Project is it's a group of military related people, as in, for instance, the one in Baltimore, there was like 3 or 4 Marines, an Army, Navy, maybe 5 people. Then there was the mother of a Marine who was killed in action, and one of the men who was in the military was actually his best friend. So you had a guy who was killed in action's best friend and mother, and the guy who was still living, his wife, were all part of the cast. And Jonathan goes and he interviews the cast separately for about 1 to 2 hours each. Then he goes away for 3 weeks, writes a script, and then he comes back, and then over the course of a couple of months, if they have the time, rehearses, gives them a script, and basically turns all these people's life's events and stories about the military into 1 2-hour-long production and interweaves them together, and then they get up on a stage and perform their stories. And it's because there's civilian people intermixed in there, and because they're telling the story, it's a great way, it's a great eye into the lives of the military through the civilian.
Right,
and it's got to be extremely therapeutic, too.
Right, yeah.
On both sides, for the audience and for the people that are telling the story.
Well, absolutely.
There were some civilians that that, you know, had never had any connection to the military at all, and they went to the show, and you know, I believe I remember stories about some of them saying, you know, like, well, I wasn't even sure if I could go because I wasn't a veteran. And the idea that Jonathan has is he wants the civilians to come so that they can understand better, you know, what the military, what their stories are. And not every story that Jonathan is having told, not every story is I was in combat, I saw this guy die, you know, I had to kill somebody. And some of them are stories that would be similar to mine, where I was in the Army for 10 years. I never saw any action at all. But at the same time, I still have some amazing things that happened to me while I was in, you know, and those could be stories that people would want to hear.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's not all like pro-military either. I mean, there are some people that didn't have a good experience in the military, but it's an equally important story to tell. And Jonathan wasn't in the military either, but he's made it his, like, you know, mission to tell all these stories. And I actually filmed, I think I filmed all of them. I think they're all online to be seen in their entirety.
Really?
The amazing thing about the one that we did last year in D.C. was he's done, I think Jonathan has in the Telling Project, has done like 10 of them at this point. And up until last year in D.C., I think he'd always done this long, you know, a few month process. And last year we had this week-long event called Arts, Military, and Healing. And it was with a lot of like Walter Reed vets, and it was a lot of visual art. And
Jonathan, the idea it was very workshop-based. So we had different workshops for different things.
And Jonathan's workshop was the Telling Project. And he literally met these people 2 weeks, I think, before the workshop. Then they only rehearsed for a week. He gave them their scripts at the beginning of the week, and then at the end of the week, like 5 days later, they performed at the Library of Congress an hour-long show.
Wow, and these are not professionals.
Not at all. No, these are normal, everyday people who've never done any kind of performance.
But and seeing it, you would think that they were. Yeah, absolutely. They've been doing it their whole life.
And they're performing in front of 300 people at the Library of Congress. And it was amazing. Just that one. I was filming it, so I was kind of a little detached because I'm worried about, like, you know, the technical aspects.
Sure.
But when I edited it together, I mean, I'm sitting there, like, tearing up, watching back what I'd already seen, what I'd seen actually rehearsed several times throughout the week. And just the performances they gave was just absolutely amazing. And the stories ranged, like, you know, very, very broad stories. And one of the guys was actually in the Royal Navy. And it's funny because the guy who was in the Royal Navy is a friend and was stationed with the guy that I'm working with completely separately in Europe to hopefully do a documentary about some vets with PTSD who surf in Europe. And like they just, I sent him that video to show him some of my work, and he was like, oh, I know that guy.
Uh-huh.
But,
it's the universality.
Art is very,
exactly.
Art in general is therapeutic. The Veteran Artist Program, we're not a therapy organization. We have done, like last year's event, we have done therapy-centered things. In the San Francisco event that we have coming up in August, I think, is going to be with the VA, so it's therapeutic. But in general, all art is therapy, whether you were, lost a leg in combat, whether you never saw combat, whether you had a bad childhood. All art is therapy. You're writing a song, like Taylor Swift certainly has never been in the military, or she's 21 years old, but she obviously gets a lot of anger and feelings out in her music, and that probably makes her a much happier person being able to do that. And so I think all art is therapy. I think that our focus isn't on therapy, but it certainly helps people.
Sure.
Tremendously, whether that's the focus or not.
Going back to the Library of Congress Telling Project event, what was amazing at the end is that all of their stories individually were submitted and accepted into the Library of Congress.
Really?
And that's something that...
That's what I was going to ask you, too. Are these chronicled anywhere? Are they all filmed? Or, like you said, they are filmed? Are they?
Well, the ones that we've done with Jonathan, the two, three at this point, I filmed them and edited and put them online. I'm not really sure what they do otherwise. I assume that they're filmed, but I'm not really.
All right. Well, I'd like to do a program just on that.
Yeah, and Jonathan wouldn't have a problem. Yeah,
I did look that up, and I saw there was a couple of videos and such for that, and it was amazing. Like you said, these are people that just learned it. You know, they're professional people. They can't learn things in a week.
Absolutely.
And just how it helped both sides, you know, people watching it and all. Like you say, you know, it's art just does it naturally.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You don't have to sit down with somebody and give them your history or anything like that. It just brings it out of you.
And a lot of these people with the Talent Project start off and they're like hardened guys, and, you know, they're not people who would ever talk about their feelings. And it's amazing to see, you know, when you talk to them before it starts, and they're the way that they handle themselves and talk about things. And then, you know, they do this whole talk about the military and their experiences, maybe for the first time ever, outside of, you know, other military people. And once it's over, they're like, man, it's just so cathartic to, like, get it all out. And
off their chest.
Yeah, exactly. And just the value it adds onto their life just by sharing their stories is unbelievable.
Just a thought came to me. I mean, I'm sure it's come to all you guys too, but that's such a great program to have on a voluntary basis. Like you said, there are people that will not really take it up, but to have that in addition to whatever kind of therapy there is available for veterans, you know. Because, like you say, it's amazing that you think, oh, this guy would never do it, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's a star.
Right.
You know, he really takes to it. It really helps him.
Mm-hmm.
It helps his family watching him.
Right.
And then from then on, it's kind of like the start for him, I think. I don't know if he wants to continue doing this, but he also gets the idea that things are not in a little vacuum, the do-all or end-all, that there are other things out there, too. Which always, it's kind of amazes me. You weren't sugarcoating the way that all of a sudden you are one person when you come into the military, and then you've got a week to be by yourself again. And
mm-hmm.
then, of course, of all that. That's the type of issues I would like to do in several shows, and not just the veteran artist program, but other veteran shows too. If you can lead me in the right direction to do that, because it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that there are these suicides more than you know, people who are killed in combat.
Right.
And you hear about all this, and you think, you know, what is going on? I'm from a different era. I mean, I could tell you, I could tell you my military history, which is avoiding the military because I was in Vietnam. I don't know if you knew. Back in the 70s, in the early 70s, there used to be a lottery every January.
Right.
And they would divide it up with the dates of the year. And if you were in the first third, you were definitely going. Second, third, maybe. Third, third, you're okay. I was always like number 6 or 12 or whatever. So I know back then it was a lot different in terms of, you know, going to the military. Because we, at that time, in the early 70s, we didn't believe we should be there.
Right.
And earlier than that, too. And anyway, I wasn't very military-minded to begin with, so I thought I'd have two options, and that was, one, I would join the band. Because another guy's brother joined the band and said, it's great, we don't have to get up till 10 o'clock, and, we don't see any action, or anything like that. And of course, the other one was to go to Canada.
Right.
But fortunately, when I turned 18, they abolished the draft.
Nice.
So, you know, it was... But I always regret the way that the veterans were treated when they came home from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like we blame them.
Right.
And even the most hippy-dippy people, Abby Hoffman and such, regretted that too. It shouldn't have happened, you know?
Right.
I mean,
And if you take you rip the politics off of it, it's just a bunch of people trying to do their job.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And
that goes for both sides. You look at our side and their side. If you rip away that politics, it's just us trying to do our job as best we can, them trying to do their job as best they can. We're just going by what's being, you know, the orders that are being issued down. And the politics that unfortunately are unfolding that is causing everything that happened is kind of putting people at risk, I guess. So,
I like the way that you kind of you sugarcoat things a little bit, as opposed to Josh, who just tells it like it is. Well, they're not doing this.
I won't kiss anybody's butt.
I'm not saying
Jeremy's kissing
butt. Yeah, but I'm just saying he has a gentler nature.
Different style.
It is.
What's crazy is I was Army and he was Air Force. So normally that's the opposite.
That's just the opposite.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the vision. We talked about that you've been around for about 4 years or so like that, but mm-hmm. what do you see yourself in, say, your organization in, say, 6 months, a year, or 5 years?
Well, we just celebrated going national. At the same time that BR, he got his degree, he moved up to New York.
Degree.
Master's degree, I'm sorry. Let me point that out. Congratulations, BR. he went up to New York, and we had a celebration for all of that, and we were also celebrating the fact that VAP was going national. So we're now finally trying to reach out and help veterans across the whole U.S. So I imagine we're looking out, you know, if you say looking out in the future, 5 years, 10 years, it's not sure I could grasp that yet.
And it's funny, we were just talking about the fact that the military gives you, you know, a week to, you know, prepare you for that was air quotes, prepare you for civilian life. But that's one of our dreams or goals, is to actually get the military to incorporate some sort of art as an exit strategy, an option, something to help with therapy, giving more veterans that outlet and that ability to have art in their lives outside of the military and as they're exiting the military. Because, like you were saying, I mean, it's a tremendous outlet that really helps them cope, whether they, you know, were physically injured or psychologically injured. So that's one thing that we definitely see in the future, is branching out, reaching out to more people, you know, as they're leaving the military, not just some veteran who's been out for 4 years and is kind of like lost their way, but we'd like to get people, if not before, like right as they're coming out, to really engage them in the arts, and before they get to that point where they're feeling okay. isolated and alone, and get them involved in,
well,
in the
arts. It would be great if that was part of the program of, I don't know what Jay would call it, reinitiating
the
yourself
transition
into civil transition.
Right,
is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called now transition. You know? It's called TAP.
But also, I don't know if you're, maybe I'm just very simplistic, but you were telling me a while back that there was somebody that you know that committed suicide and didn't know that just in his radius that there were people in his company.
Right.
And like that. And I'm thinking, why don't they, I mean, this is the Army, this is the Armed Forces or whoever it was, why wouldn't they have a database that said that? And I thought,
right.
you know, I could find people that could do a database in a week that mm-hmm. said, okay, Charlie, you're going, you know, this is it, you're leaving the Armed Forces. But you have Joe and Bill that live 3 streets away or,
right.
you know, 5 miles away. So you can still be, you know, if you can hook up with them, and you're not by yourself. It just seems to be,
well,
maybe it's me, but it just seems to be that's a natural way of that's a handout that you
yeah.
get at the end. You know?
The military isn't always quick to embrace technology. I guess we could sugarcoat it that
yeah,
way.
You
a
are the
bit.
Polite one,
yeah,
yes.
I am. So, lucky for us, there are some other people out there that do know technology and are doing things like that.
Specifically, the instance you're talking about, I didn't personally know the person who committed suicide, but we actually partnered up with a organization. They started PauseRep, and it stands for Position Report. And it's an app that you can download, and you can see other veterans in the area. And they started that specifically because their friend was when he killed himself, he was within like a mile of 15 other veterans. And in fact, some of them were people that he had been in the military with. And it's specifically because of that, and he was feeling alone, even though he was, you know, there were a lot of people that he could have talked to. And so they said, you know, we don't ever want that to happen again. So they created this app, and we partnered with them to get the word on the app out there.
And with the app, if if one of it does a lot of different things, but one of the things that it does is if you are like that guy and you're feeling you know, a little bit down, you know, even if you just, you know, I need connection, I need to talk to somebody else, you can send a flare up on the app and other people in your area will be able to see those flares and say,
I think something that's really fallen by the wayside in our generation is like the veteran, what's the lodge,
American Legion?
Yeah, the American Legion or VFW. Thank you. Sorry, I was too late. Something that's really, I think, fallen by the wayside in our generation is like the VFWs, the American Legions. That's seen as old timers.
Oh, really? So there's nothing similar to that?
Not that I know of. And I think it's a lot of that is because of social media. You know, people aren't going out there looking because they kind of like get stuck looking on Facebook at home and stuff. And so the VFW still exists, but it's highly looked upon as a bunch of old guys go sit at a bar and drink.
And they also associate it with, you know, like, well, they're just going to go and, you know, spend the whole day saluting the flag and talking about the Army or military or whatever. And I'm not there anymore. I got out for a reason or whatever, and that's not me. But you're right. There needs to be something that's like that.
Well, I mean, that's what we're kind of trying to create with a bunch of different service organizations, you know, that something to go to and fellowship with your fellow people who've been going through the same thing. And that's the thing that we do that very well is we may not have someone, we may not have an app that does that, but we can partner with them and help them get their word out. And we can partner with a music organization that we partner with, Music for Vets. They go out, they get guitars, and they either have them painted if they're not working, and not only guitars but violins and other musical instruments, they have them painted, and then they auction them off, and the money goes to vets to get instruments, or they get the guitar and they give it to a VA to get it in the hands of a veteran, like at the VA hospital. Because, you know, obviously music has been shown to be a healing, something, learning how to play or even be able to play. So, you know, we partner with a lot of organizations that do a lot of specific things. And I think that's something that we do really well. And we're always looking for more organizations to partner with and help us, help them, help us.
And, well, I'll tell you, use me because I'm going to be here all the time, hopefully. If you want to do a calendar, if you want to do an announcement on this and that and the other thing,
right?
Like what you just said, which is a great idea, you know where to find me.
Right.
Excellent.
And we're always looking for more veterans to involve themselves with us. We can't have enough. We don't really have membership, per se, but we have a lot of things that we could use help with, or we're always looking for ideas. For instance, not too long ago, somebody reached out to us, and I'll let Jeremy talk about it because he's been dealing with this a lot more than I have. A guy who was injured and pulled his shrapnel out of his body and actually started doing fine photography with the shrapnel. And what
it's called the Shrapnel Project, and he originally started with his own shrapnel, and he did a really up-close shot with a plain white background, and he blew it up, so it's really big. And then, excuse me. And then he labels it with, I believe it's just the part of the body that the shrapnel was removed from. I think it's the size, the dimensions, and the weight of the shrapnel, and I believe that's it. And then on his display, he's got one white picture that's the same size as all of the other pieces, and that one is completely blank, and that kind of represents the PTSDs, the hidden shrapnel, I guess.
Wow, that's amazing.
But he's looking for more combat veterans that have shrapnel that have kept that shrapnel.
Shrapnel project.
And he wants to photograph those and
display them in galleries like, you know, works of art.
We see, when you were talking about that, it just kind of occurred to me that I would like to work toward the idea that every state would have a veterans museum. You know, something like that. And a museum doesn't have to be like the Baltimore Museum or Walter's, a big thing. A museum can be this building, you know, or these couple rooms to start off with.
Yeah.
It's just like a place for them to show their art on a permanent revolving basis. You know, it could be anywhere, and it could be in every state. You guys are now branching out to all these states.
Absolutely.
That's something, because these are just, you know, mind-boggling, terrific ideas, like just to use something like that. You know,
right.
That was kind of personal.
Right.
And then, you know, to make it into something else that's still personal. You know?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And being able to share something that's so personal can really help other people to realize, hey, you know what, I can share my personal things also, which ends up being very therapeutic.
Exactly, and it doesn't have to be shrapnel.
Right.
It's going to be something, and I was thinking that, and this kind of, this has brought it out for me, you know. This is something that I've just been mulling over in my eye. You know, the thing that's, it's not necessarily physical, but mental,
right,
too. I mean, there's all
right,
that connection.
Absolutely.
And his story, if anybody's interested, is on the front page of our website right now. We have a little section called In the VAP Light. And it's where we put the spotlight or the VAP light on one soldier at a time. And we have an archive as well. So when we put the next one up there, you'll still be able to get to his story. So feel free to go and check that out.
Well, yeah, well, tell us what your website is. Where is it?
VeteranArtistProgram.org.
Very good. So is there anything else you'd like to talk about? It's been quite a great program. Kind of tentative when we started, because we all kind of are in this new territory, and I was thinking, oh my, it's, you know, these are great ideas and all, but hopefully it'll come across.
We'll just
all
stare at each other.
Well,
for
it's kind of like,
well,
so, all right.
One thing very specific to Baltimore, the Baltimore Hard Rock Cafe actually teamed up with us, and they designed a pin, a commemorative pin, that is part Hard Rock, part VAP. So it has the Hard Rock info, it has the United States in the background, and then it has our logo, which is basically a microphone with a soldier's hat laying on the microphone. So Hard Rock's made those. You can get those in the Hard Rock Cafe in Baltimore, and there's only, I think, 500 of them made. And
collector's item, right?
Yeah,
get them while you can.
Yeah, and I believe they should be available on the Hard Rock's website as well.
The Rock Shop.
Yeah, the Rock Shop. There you go. That's something very local to Baltimore, which is pretty cool. Specifically myself, I just finished a movie, a comedy feature film called The Maladjusted. And July 11th in Bethesda, we're going to be premiering that. We're going to be showing the movie. It's like a raunchy comedy kind of... I think we're going with offbeat comedy.
that's a good term.
And, you know, like, you know, in the same vein as American Pie or The Hangover without the $20 to $80 million budget. but, you know, we did what we could. We got the best local actors and some not local. Tiffany Shepis is a big screen queen and well-known actress. She's one of the main characters in the movie. July 11th at 7:30 at the Bethesda Row Cinema, we're premiering that with a big after party afterwards, right behind there at the Barking Dog. That's going to be pretty exciting.
How do we get tickets for that?
Yeah, you can get the tickets on the you can get
the
tickets.
The production manager.
Right. Yeah. Well, you can either go to our Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheMaladjusted Movie. And there's the event there, and also on the Bethesda Row Cinema website, there's a link to buy tickets. You know, it's very dear to me. I basically have been working on this movie since January 2011. That's when we first started producing it, and I filmed it, I produced it, I just am finishing editing it, and I actually had a little cameo of about a minute. It's actually the only minute the entire rest of the movie I'm holding the camera, except for that one little part where I'm on screen. But very personal for me, you know, it's been, I've put a lot, like probably 4,000 hours in this movie in the last 2.5 years. And again, you know, it's my movie, so it's something that I haven't gotten paid a penny for. And even if the movie made, you know, $2 million, I would probably still literally be making like $1 an hour that I end up working on it. So it's something that you have to really love. And I would literally, you know, if I knew that my bills were, you know, paid for, and I don't even have that many bills, if I knew that my bills were paid for, I would act every day for 18 hours or make movies every day for 18 hours. And I don't even care about money. Don't even, you know, I'm not saying that I wouldn't take
no
money.
No, that's okay. That quote you're on, this is not etching granite, we understand.
But love it. I mean, you know, it's just, it's in my heart, and it's what I feel like I was meant to do from the moment that I stepped on a movie set. So, and that's something that we want other vets to feel and to know that they can be a part of that. And you know, in the future, we want to make feature films, whether, you know, they have some sort of touch upon military, hopefully, but you know, it doesn't have to be about military. So I have a lot of vision for films to be made about and of and involving veterans.
Well, what we're going to have to do then is we're going to have to find or form a veterans venture capital company.
Hey, that sounds good.
Interesting. And also a veterans film distribution company.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
I get 10 cents every time you use that. Right?
I mean, you know, just as my movie, The Maladjusted, we didn't set out to use veterans, or you know, it's not something that I went with for VAP, because it was the director and writer came to me and said, "Hey, I want you to produce it and shoot it." I mean, you know, I can count at least 6 veterans who worked on set or were involved, and we're talking about a small budget movie, so you know, a Hollywood film might have, you know, 500 people involved, and of course there's going to be some veterans, but you know, with us, we had, you know, other than actors in the movie, we had maybe 15 crew members at any given time. So to have 5 or 6 veterans involved, you know, our caterer was a I believe Vietnam vet. And he's a guy that I work with, and he's got a big camper, and he just hauled that camper. He took off work for a whole week on a very well-paid job, came down, and we basically paid him to, you know, what the food cost, and he was all about it. And he loved it.
So he did it
and
at cost.
His food was amazing. Amazing. You know, he was cooking, he was making homemade hummus and cooking his barbecue and hamburgers, and there were, like, you know, of course, with actors, there were a few vegetarians, so we were, you know, he was whipping up 3 or 4 specialty meals
every
time.
Also with actors, they ate a lot, I'm
sure. Yeah, right, exactly. So, yeah, it was a pretty amazing process, and, you know, it was great to have veterans involved, even though it wasn't necessarily a VAP-related project, other than the fact that I was one of the lead people involved in the movie, and I'm in VAP. So, but we really, that would be really incredible to have something like that. Because there's a lot of veterans out there that makes movies, that make movies,
sure,
that are involved in movies.
And it's not just to, you know, say, okay, it's veterans this and veterans that.
Right,
but I mean,
absolutely.
It's still a helpful way of going about there. And there's got to be a lot of veterans out there that have some money.
Oh, absolutely. or veteran lovers.
Yes. Right. Oh, that's right. That's, yes. Jeez.
More importantly, the people who like to support
the VLs. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably a lot right here in Baltimore that are listening to this show.
As
right.
You speak. Yes.
Yes. And you know where to contact us.
Yes, that's true. Well, that's the thing. That's what we end on. We know how to contact us. Well, you know how to contact me, because else you wouldn't be knowing how to listen to it. But also, give us again all your contact stuff.
Well, we have our website, which is theveteranartistprogram.org. We're on Twitter, which I believe we're at Vet Artist Prog.
Correct.
So VETARTISTPROG. We also have a Facebook page, which is just probably Veteran Artist Program.
Right.
Facebook.com/Veteran Artist Program. We're very active on Facebook, I think more so than anything, as far as, you know, the daily grind goes.
Pretty active on Twitter as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, and then you can contact any of us, like Josh at veteranartistprogram.org, Jeremy at veteranartistprogram.org, BR at veteranartistprogram.org. And I know BR is looking for a lot of different things to do in New York City. And so we're pretty accessible, and we're always looking for money to help
donations
to help to course, help yeah. us help as many vets as possible, you know. And that's, you know, we're always out there trying to find grants, trying to get involvement from veteran lovers or veterans who want to be involved, whether it's manpower or you know, checkbooks. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of nonprofits out there that kind of make the rest of us look bad. You know, they're in the news for misappropriating funds.
Yeah, for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of puts a bad taste in people's mouth. But everything we do is to help get as many veterans as possible.
Just wonderful. I one of the questions I wanted to ask, and just in closing here, is that the programs that you have, just terrific programs, and I really think that they're going to help people, and we're going to really talk about it in the future shows about the different programs, and hopefully in a little while I'll go live, and then we might do live remotes, seeing how I do in this thing. But you talked about trying to change what veterans get when they leave, and saying this the new program that you have, and all. How accessible or upper echelon in the military, how much are they open to you?
Funny you should mention that. So, excuse me. Today, when I was leaving work, I was walking out to the parking lot, and there was another gentleman that I've worked with for a while, but we kind of do different things. So I know who he is, he knows who I am, we've been in meetings together, but we haven't really had a conversation or anything. As we're walking out to the car, I just mentioned, wow, this weather is amazing. It's so incredibly hot. And he said, yeah, this is the kind of weather I love too. And I said, yeah, I love running in, you know, running in the heat, but most people don't. And he's like, wow, I thought I was the only person who liked running in the heat. He's
I
like,
definitely do not.
Yeah. So we started talking, and I mentioned that I was stationed in Oklahoma, and that's when I really got the bug for running in the heat, when it was, you know, 115 degrees out all the time. And then he mentioned, oh, you're military. I was a command sergeant major in the military. That's, for those that don't know, that's the highest enlisted rank you can go. And so then we started talking about, you know, he was in the Army, I was in the Army. We started talking. I told him about the Veteran Artist Program, and he was pretty excited about it. He said that's really something that, you know, isn't being done enough out there. And so I think that's a good representation of what a lot of other people are thinking.
It's a good answer. That just happened just now. That's great. Also, too, in terms of policymakers or whatever, is there any kind of feedback you're getting from them yet? Or?
Well, I think it's going to be a difficult... there's a reason why it's not already like that, you know, and a lot of things with the government, with military, the policies are policies that were set a long time ago, and they're not being changed because that's just the way they are. And it's really hard to get upper echelons, people, their mindset wrapped around, well, this is what needs to happen, because a lot of those guys that are up there are, you know, Vietnam before era people, and they're like, well, you got, you know, different generations, you got to deal with it.
Sure.
And they don't want to hear anything about, oh, well, the arts can help you, the arts can keep the suicide rate down. So I think that it's we have a long road ahead of us to get that to happen. I don't think it's impossible. And I think that it needs something of a public outcry for, you know, I don't think that the suicide rate has enough media coverage. I mean, it's just starting to lately, just because we had more people kill themselves last year but with suicide than combat related deaths. And that blows my mind. I can't believe that is barely talk when I hear that. Exactly. And so obviously something needs to get done, but you still, it's just a whisper, you know, a whisper of anything. You hear every day, you know, somebody was killed, or not every day, thankfully anymore, but you constantly hear on the news so-and-so was killed in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it was. And every once in a while there'll be a story, you know, but it's not on CNN. It's usually, you know, on one of the night lines or something like that. And I just think that there needs to be more of an outcry, more public attention given to that, and demand for change. And I think until something like that happens, they'll just keep doing what they've been doing. And I think that it's going to, like I said, it's going to be a long road. It's going to be a lot of things will need to fall into place for any kind of change like that to occur.
I think that the military is very good at doing certain things. Preventing suicide, I don't think that's one of them. They've been trying for a long time. I mean, they are doing a lot of different things to try to stop suicide, but you can look at the numbers and it doesn't seem to be working. So I'm really hopeful that organizations like PosRep and, you know, a lot of other veteran service organizations that are out there, that they can do what they do best. And I'm hoping that they start to pop up a lot more on people's radar, and right. People that are feeling down, people that are feeling like, you know, I have nothing to live for. And, you know, it would be great if when they're feeling that, you know, there's the veteran service organization reach is out there so far that just serendipitously they just find it when they need it.
Well, I'm going to inundate people with it. I mean, I'm going to be here, and hopefully that, you know, that makes a difference. Not that I'm the do-all or end-all, but
right.
If I can give just one vet a notion that there's something to look forward to,
right?
You know, just with that it's not all stuck in the present right now.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you know, I'll be happy that week.
Yeah.
And I'll keep going and doing more and more exponentially. Hopefully, you know, we can do something. You guys are going to come back and
right.
Do a regular show and talk to me about what's going on with the program and what's going on with veterans. And then we're going to have other veteran shows too, which I hope you can lead me in the direction of that. But it's a great first show. You know, we just thought
we're
going to be sitting around stumbling and saying we're thinking of things that we're going to say.
It's amazing. We might be a small organization, but we have a lot going on, and we've done
sure
a lot.
Do, yeah.
And just, you know, in just the first 3 years that we were in existence, I mean, we made a lot of things happen, and we really it's crazy when we look back on it, like all the events that we had and all the productions that we had. It's just amazing.
Well, we want to get it out there. We want to get it out there on a permanent basis, an ongoing basis, because we're not going to just be the flavor of the month. We want to do it, you know, continuously, and use and abuse me. Okay?
Yeah. Well, we also have a YouTube channel. I believe it's youtube.com/veteranartistprogram.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of the Telling Project videos and documentaries and recaps of weeks that we've put on that are on that channel, and in addition to pointed at that channel from our webpage.
All right. Well, I have links from my webpage to your guys' webpage.
Absolutely.
To all that stuff too.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, thank you. Josh Davidson, who what's your title again, Josh?
Executive producer
of the Veteran Artist Program. I've got to edit all this out and make it so perfect that you didn't even know I was here. And also Jeremy Paris, the Information Systems and Production Manager of the Veteran Artist Program. Thanks, guys, for coming.
I knew we could get that three times.
Oh, I can't even try saying old rug, wet rug three times. Thanks, guys, for coming, and
thanks for
having us. It's
the
first of a continuous relationship.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks. This is Dave Custy, and I'm saying goodbye on Baltimore Internet Radio.